Okay, good morning. We're up to Perek Chof Tes. We're up to Pasuk, Pasuk Vav. Okay, let's start from Pasuk Vav. Yesterday we concluded with the gold and the silver, that David said, son, Lamalos, Yodai Hayem, Hashem. We do that nice little drush. Lamalos, Yodo, that when the person gives a donation, when you empty out your hands, you are really filling up your hands. The greatest pleasure, the greatest way to, one hand it's a nedava, but on the other hand, the nedava is called being mamale. I think the battery on this is. Wait, is it? Oh, no. Anyway, not sure. I think it's okay. No, it's okay. I thought the hissing is in the kitchen. I'm sorry. From the street. Yes. No, of course not. No, of course not. Of course, the Gemara says that charity starts at home. Charity starts at home. The greatest stock is to support your family. Okay, let's go further. We're up to Pasuk Vav. Now we have the people listened to and made an appeal. And now now people came forward and they gave pledges. Who gave pledges? The leaders of the families, the leaders of the Shvatim, the Hameis. Notice does not make any mention of the Sari HaChamish and the Sari HaSaros. What happened to the Sari HaChamish and the Sari HaMeos? So either they just were not significant to be mentioned, or as we mentioned before, I saw this in more than one place. The Sari HaChamishim were not wealthy people. They were Talmidei Chachamim. As we mentioned in our birthday shir, Sari HaChamishim means people who are 50 years old. In ancient times, it was the rule that you're not appointed as a Rosh HaYeshiva until you're at least 50 years old. So the Sari HaChamishim, and this also similarly the Sari HaSaros, They were not leaders who were wealthy, therefore they were not mentioned here in giving large scale donations. Pasuk Zayin, Vayinu Lavodas Beis Elokim, they donated, they gave to the Beis Hamikdash, Zohav, how much? Now we come to the calculation of this new donation, gold, Kikarim Chamesha Salafim, 5,000 talents of gold, so an enormous amount of gold. Now we have the Adar Konim, Rebo 10,000. The word Adar Konim did not exist in the time of David. This was a Persian coin.
And it's Greek.
A Greek coin, but right. According to the Farshim,
we had that in the Gemara.
We have it in the Shkolim, the Gemara Shkolim, right, two days ago, it says that the Gizborim who collect the Machsa Shekel in the Medina, it's too heavy to carry the coins, the small coins, to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim. It is in Yerushalayim, so they would transfer the value onto gold coins. Seemingly, one gold coin is worth 50 machzis ashekel. I think that's the calculation. So you can get with one gold coin, it's easier to carry. But the word Adar Konim, according to what I've seen, did not exist, or it was not well known at the time of David and Shlomo. This was a new word, a new type of coin, which was invented way much, much later during the time of the Bayeshin and the Persians. And since this Sefer is being, this is another example of where this Sefer is being written, at the time of Ezra Nehemiah, the time of the Bayesheni, it's being written in a language that the people of the time can understand. It's a tremendous chiddush. They're taking currency, taking money. It's like saying that today, how much did they collect? They collected $560 million. And giving you the value in terms of what was current at the time. That's how the Mepharshim learn that Adar Konim, we bought 10,000 gold coins, Persian gold coins. The Chesef Kikarim Asers, how much silver? So the Chesef Kikarim Asers, 10,000 talents of silver. Or Nechoshes, I'm not exactly sure what a talent is. I don't know the mathematical calculations, but it's a very large amount. Or Nechoshes Ribo. Came to copper 10,000 ushmonis alafim kikarim. We have so this is 18,000. Rebo is 10,000 and plus 8,000 for a grand total of 18,000 talents of copper, barzel, and iron mayo elef 100,000 kikarim. Okay, so this is the calculation of how much money was collected. So let's just, the reason why it's a review, we'll say in one moment, the reason why when it comes to the gold we give, there was 5,000, there was change. So the 10,000, the Zav Kikarim, 5,000 talents of gold, and there was change. So the change added up into 10,000 Adar Konim. Seeing, I don't know how many Adar Konim, I don't know the calculation, there's a certain amount of Adar Konim which would value, would equal a kikar. So we have a total of 5,000 kikarim. And change, how much did the change equal? 10,000 Adar Konim. But when it comes to the silver and the copper and the barzel, there was no change. It was exact. Or at least that's what, if there was change, the change was insignificant. It was not necessary to be calculated. The Kesef Kikarim, 2,000. Kesef Kikarim Aser Salafim, silver we have 10,000. Copper was 18,000. And barzel, 100,000. Okay, pasuk ches vanimso ito avonim, those that had in their possession precious stones donated them to the Beis Hamikdash. Nosnu leitzar Beis Hashem, who was in charge of all of the money that came in? We have here a person giving him credit. Al yad yichiel hagershuni. So similarly, since it says he's from Gershon, he's one of the Levim, he was from Sheva Lev, one of the administrators of Levim, which we mentioned, which we learned many times, was in charge of collecting one of the Gitzborim in the Beis Hamikdash. Pasuk tes, but he was in charge, but it seems like he's in charge of everything. Okay, is this Yechil HaGershoni only going back on the precious stones, or did he also go back on the money as well? I do not know. Similarly, he goes back on everything. He was the chief financial officer, CFO, and he took care. He was the accountant, the chief financial officer, and so on, and he took in all the money. Pasuk Tes. Now, Vayismichu Ha'am al Hisnadvam. This is something which is unique. Farshim emphasized this very much. You don't have in history, not today, not in the past, not even in the time of Moshe, where we find people rejoiced in giving. When someone gives a large donation, it's painful. It hurts. It hurts. Although they believe in the cause and they're very happy to give the money, at dekach to express their donations with the word Vayismichu Ha'am al Hisnadvam, they had great pleasure in the opportunity they had to give money. This is a pasuk that is one of a kind. And in fact, let me just jump ahead. When it comes to study one, after we go through, I don't want to lose this point, after we go through this bracha, David was so overwhelmed with the response to his appeal. He gave Klal Yisrael a beautiful bracha, he gave Hashem a bracha, he gave Klal Yisrael a beautiful bracha, and then he says something which we say in davening every single day in Uvolot Zion. The words are not the first part, which we'll come to in a few moments, but I want to get this point now. Give me 1 second to find it. Here it is. If you jump down to Pasuk Yud Ches, Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yisrael Avoseinu, Shamra Zos Liolam, watch, guard this forever. Liyetzer Machshavos Levava Mecha, the thoughts of the heart of your people, and may you direct their hearts to you. What does it mean here, Shama Zos Liolam? What is this deeper meaning? We'll come to the pasuk later on and discuss it in more detail, but the Mefarshim explained that David HaMelech was amazed, he was shocked that the people gave with such will and such devotion to the point where they rejoiced. And the pasuk testifies that it was sincere. Not like, which is very common, when someone has to give a donation, they have no choice. And they're not happy to part with their hard-earned money. David said, Halavai, halavai, shama zos liolam. The same way you have simcha today in giving your hard-earned money to the Beis HaMikdash, halavai, throughout all the generations, when you ask to give money, you should rejoice. It shouldn't be painful. Shamra zos liolam. So you know who told me this part? His name was Rabbi Miteshin. Rabbi Miteshin was a Talmud of Torah V'Dasi, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. He used to daven together with Chaim Berlin. And he was nifted a number of years ago, and he told me that he used to tell me Verluch from davening. I sit next to him. Irving Miteshin. There were three Miteshin brothers. Yitzchak, yes, he was a Sheikhit, yes. You remember him?
Yeah, I know.
He was a Sheikhit.
His son's grandchildren.
I think his wife comes here now to the senior citizen center downstairs, and she comes occasionally to participate. No.
First wife.
What?
Yes,
sir. Yitzchak Miteshin?
Was a Sheikhit?
Yeah. No, I don't think he had a friend.
He has a son that lives.
Nassim Miteshin. He has a son who lives in the neighborhood. His name is Nosson.
Yeah.
Nussi. What?
Wrong one.
No, it's a different Mitashin. There are three Mitashins. I know he told me. There's another Mitashin. I know. He used to daven my father, young Israel. That was his brother. He was also a Shaykhit. He was also a Shaykh. His name was... His name was not a Yitzchak. I don't remember his name. I remember him. He used to daven. He lived in the neighborhood also. But he told me this var in the name of Rav Pam, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, at a yeshiva dinner. Rav Pam was a baki in Tanakh. Rav Pam made a siyum every year on Tanakh, on his mother's yard site. He made a siyum every single year in the whole Tanakh. And he often in his drashas would quote, would discuss different stories in Tanakh. And this was his speech at one dinner, which made a very strong impression on Rav Teshen, but he told it to me more than once, that here Klal Yisrael gave by Yisnadvu with great joy, with great simcha. David was overwhelmed, and David said, Shamra zos li'olam, halavai, this expression of goodwill, giving all this money should be with Klal Yisrael, that all the generations should not be a struggle for every institution to raise a few dollars to pay the bills. Yes.
Maybe you could have shot to it that the whole nation was happy that everyone gave.
It was equal opportunity.
In other words, the nation was happy that
everyone participated. Okay, that's an interesting point. Vayismichu ha'om al hisnadvam ki belev shalem hisnadvu. Allah Hashem, they all rejoiced. And then Vegam David Hamelech Samach Simcha, David also rejoiced, Simcha Gidola, which is interpreted, he had even more joy. Because as we'll see the Mefarshim now, David initiated this project. When he saw that his plan came to fruition, he had even greater joy than the rest of Klal Yisrael. Let's read the Mitzudos and the Rashi quickly. Pasuk, starting with Pasuk Vav. Sorei ha'avos, heim rosh avos ha'molamala. Who came forward to answer the call of David to donate money to the Beis HaMikdash? First we have the rosh ha'avos. L'sorei v'yes ha'sorim ha'munim al-blechas ha'melech v'heim ha'sorei ha'rechush ha'molamala. The sorei, the other princes, were the people in charge of all of the assets, which were mentioned in the previous parak. Then we mentioned how much money was given, so we pretty much divide all the different assets, gold, silver, copper, and barzel, into kikarim, into talents, which is a very large amount. And then there was only one exception. When we discussed gold, we had 5,000 talents of gold, but there was some leftover change which we referred to with the word Adar Konim. Shem Matbeya Yodua Etzlam, a coin that was known to them. The Farshim tell us it's a Persian coin. It was originated in Persia. Yeah.
I just want to thank you. What you said, the drash that Rapan said, it's an excellent drash. But you know, often rich people, they get unfortunate, they get solicited by several different charities. Here it's one nedava for one purpose, for the Beis HaMikdash. So you can say you do believe Shalom, because that's it. But if you're a rich man and you get from this yeshiva and that yeshiva and this yeshiva and this
okay,
yeshiva,
I know.
And this mostos and this one, it's very hard after a while to get.
There were probably a lot of organizations in the time of the Beis HaMikdash.
What makes you think there were another organization?
Okay, of course, you do what you can do. Whatever you do what you do. You shouldn't give it begrudgingly. You do, you give. Whatever you can give, you give Aleph Shalem.
There are times you have to walk.
Of course. Today, everyone is on how many telephone calls. It's off the charts.
A lot of the rich people don't stay home anymore in Flatbush.
It depends,
why?
Too. Some people
get solicited.
Okay, it all depends. You can't generalize. Everyone is different.
They gave by the mitzvah, and they gave.
Okay, let's go further. Ravu hu aseres ribo. There were 10,000 ribo. Ribo is a word which we have in Chumash. It's not spelled the way it's spelled here. It means 10,000 ribo. Hu. Ribo means 10,000 coins, and the reason why we mention this is because this was the change. It's significant, it's gold, it did not reach the value of a kikar, so we have to give the change. Furthermore, besides giving gold, silver, iron, and the copper, they also gave precious stones. Okay, so according to the
at least 5 million. How many adarkinos are there in a kikar?
It says this was less than a kikar.
Right.
So 10,000 give you less than a kikar.
10,000 is less than a kikar.
Right. So if you have 5,000, so 5,000 times 10,000 is
5
million?
Wait, I don't understand.
What's the mathematician here?
I don't understand. What are you trying to do? There were 10,000 adarkonim. That was the,
right.
Did not
plus,
reach the plus 5,000 kikarin.
Which means your kikar, the 5,000 kikar were at least 5 million adarkonim.
Ah, okay, okay, fine, okay.
So you're talking, you had
And how much is an adarkon? So at least a dollar, at least a dollar.
At least a dollar.
So you're talking over here over at least $5 million. At least $5 million. Okay, that's a good point.
And it's
probably a lot, worth a lot more. Probably
right.
It's worth a lot. Probably worth 10 times that amount. Right.
No,
right. Okay.
A few million.
Well, 1,100,000. David, that's what it says. 1,100,000. That's what it says. The people. 1,100,000. So you make calculation how much? That's just the gold. And then there's the silver, and then there's the barzel, and the nechoshes, and then the precious stones. And this was in addition to what David already collected, what David already gave personally, and in addition to what David has spent his entire life collecting. David's whole life spent, went to war, battles. Okay, let's go further.
That's why they had leftover gold to cover the
war. To cover that extra. The Shlomo was able to upgrade, even David's plans were humble compared to what Shlomo actually did for the Beis HaMikdash. The Al-Yidei Yechiel, so here the Mitzvah says that Yechiel was only in charge of the precious stones. There must have been someone else in charge of the cash. Al-Yodo Masru Havonim B'chu Hivim Eloitze. Pasik Tes. Al-Hisnadvam. The people rejoiced. They didn't just give. They gave with Simcha. Samchu Al-Hanadav Ki Haisa B'leiv Shalem. Pasik testifies the money was given with sincerity. Ki Hamisnade V'liboy Balimo Hu Netzah. A person that gives a donation and his heart is not with him. He's coerced. He's embarrassed. That's why we make appeals in shul. It's a very great technique. Why do you make an appeal in shul? Pressure. Put pressure on people. And publicly, they're getting embarrassed. A person is not happy. He is sad. He's sad on the chesaron. My father always told me the story that when he was a young boy in shul, there was a gabbai. They made appeal. The gabbai took it very personally. Today you don't really find gabbai. They make an appeal. They take it to heart. If some they don't succeed in getting money from every single member in the shul. So the gabbai, he made an appeal every Yom Tov, whatever the cause was. He went to everyone. It was a small shul. I don't know a small shul. I don't know how many people were there. But he went to everyone. Everyone gave. There was one guy who never gave. Never ever gave. He never called out. He never called out. And the gabbai, every Yom Tov, the gabbai, I don't know what's the Yiddish word, tzakacht. The gabbai. Every Yom Tov, he saw the gabbai. When he got to him, and one Yom Tov, he blew over. And he started pounding on the bima. So-and-so is a Russia. And the whole room. So, when you make an appeal, don't test the gabbai. Don't test the gabbai.
I was the gabbai once with a man who appealed Shabbos Hanukkah.
Yeah.
That's all of them.
Yeah.
And the guy who made the appeal, blah, blah, blah. Then he says to me, go around to each table.
Yeah.
I said, I will not do that. I will not embarrass anybody who doesn't want to get it. I said, you want to go here, stand here.
Okay, here it wasn't necessary. Here they gave belave shalom. Let's go further. Pasik. Okay, there we could. Let's do the Rashi.
They gave
also.
They overgave.
They overgave. Oh, so dear Enochnam. So he's making a very good point. Mr. Weiss is saying that by the Mishkan it says v'amlocha hoisa dayim dai v'hoisa, but it does not say this. That's I've got to mention this. It does not say by the Mishkan. Matching program. It does not say such a nusach by the Mishkan. And that's an incredible shevach to this generation that they donated to the Beis Hamikdash Belev Shalem. And that's again why it says Shamra Zosli Olam. Halavai, halavai. This attitude should stay with Klal Yisrael forever. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi Pasek Vav. Vayitznadvu Sarehavos Oysam Shekasav Lamal Hashevi Yisrael Shekasav Kan Lamal Bnei Yisrael Mispanem Rashavos. Just reviewing all the different people
people, the leaders that we mentioned in the previous parakim, the Lusoy Malach Samelach, the Gamsoy Azavas Avoidas Adma Samelach, the Al Shebekrame Hamelach, Kedil El, people in charge of the Rechush. The Rechush includes the king's assets, his land, and his cattle, and all the various assets that the Malchus owns throughout the whole world. There we have Adar Konim, he gives over here a French word, I do not know what this word is. V'nastu loitze beis Hashem al-yidei Yechiel ha-gershoni, shoyin nogid al-ho-itzras kedil el b'nei Yechiel zeisam b'yoyil echov al-ho-itzras beis Hashem. So he was one of the munim mentioned before in Perek Chavav. I don't know, Metzuda says only in charge of the precious stones. Here Rashi doesn't say that. Maybe Rashi holds that he's in charge of all of the money as well. Pasig tes, they rejoiced that they gave belave sholem. So Rashi emphasizes this. We had a Rashi like this before, that sometimes you have in the pasig double base, b'chol levavicha, two bases. And sometimes you have to live with only one base. Here it was with such sincerity, such goodwill. There was no divide in the heart. There was no Yetzirah telling you not to give. Blev echad nasnu beratzoy nafshan v'loy b'shtei levavos sheyesh adam shenoysin bal korchoy v'loy b'nefesh chafetza or shemispayish me'achedim. It only gives you the pressure, social pressure. V'hu nikra, that's called shnei levavos. When that person has two hearts, levavchem, two hearts, yetzotov yetzahara, but aval elu beratz beratzoy nafsham nasnu kulam, and that's why it says here belev sholem. V'gam David hamelech samach simcha gedol. The pasuk does not use these words slightly. When it says simcha gedola, it means serious business. Shaloi tamar kohem v'lo yos. Don't say that David's joy equal the joy of Klal Yisrael. No. Why? Because he was responsible. It was his idea, it was his plan, he gets the credit, and he was great joy that his plan was implemented and it succeeded, it came to fruition, that the waters rose up before Hashem, Zesinai, Harim Nazlu, the mountains. The mountains raised up Mipnei Hashem, ki zeh Sinai, yoyser mikulam mipnei asher yoda lov Hashem eish. Sinai had more joy when all of the mountains rejoice over the coming of Mashiach, the revelation of Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechina. There is one mountain that has more joy. It's a very interesting Rashi. All the mountains are going to rejoice with the coming of Mashiach, but there's one mountain that's going to have more joy than anyone else, and that is Har Sinai. Because it all started, Klal Yisrael started at Har Sinai when Hashem revealed Himself to them and gave them the Torah. So that mountain has more. That's why the pasuk says in Shoftim, Zeh Sinai in the Shira, Zeh Sinai, Sinai has more joy in coming up and rejoicing for Kodesh Baruch Hu in the time of joy. Okay. Yeah.
The reason it says Yechiel Gershoni only by Davanim, you can say that you don't give tzedakah money unless there are two people.
Gizbarim. Yeah.
By stones, you can give it to one person. But the rest, it didn't say that.
Why can you give stones to one person? Why are stones different than giving other stones that you can put in your tefillin?
Because the stones here, they're talking to line the walls of it.
The big stones, you can't hide them.
Or even nice stones like.
Why aren't we afraid the gizmo will pocket the money? We'll steal the money.
Because it's hard to put stones in your pocket.
That's if there's big stones.
Coins.
Okay, so you want to say dealing with large stones, which you can't.
He doesn't slap around stones.
Okay. Okay, I hear it. It's an idea. Pasuk Yud. Now we come to David's response. Now, these psukim are so chashuv, they're so chaviv, the Anshei Knesset Agdola was misaken to that these should be included in Psukei Dezimra. We say these psukim every single day. Vayivorech David es Hashem le'enei kol akohol vayomer David. What?
And you put money in the pushka.
Excellent. You put money in the pushka where? So there are different minhagim. Some put money in the pushka by when it comes to v'oysher v'yakavad melufonecha, and some put money in the pushka where it says v'yata. Moshel Bakol. There are different minhagim. There are different minhagim when you put money, but generally you put money at the Tumar. Now let's right away. Now we can understand why do we put money in the pushka when we recite these psukim? Because this was a response, David's response to when Klal Yisrael gave the ultimate staka. What's the ultimate staka to the Beis HaMikdash? And they gave it with simcha b'leva b'lev shalem shamer zos li'olam. So since here we have the response of the ultimate staka, that's why the minig is to give staka. The minig is to give staka. Yeah. There's also another very important minig, and that is to stand. Okay, people, many people, the proper thing to do is when you get the words, these words, you're supposed to stand. Some stand, have a minute. When I was taught, I don't know, I never really looked into this, when I was in Yeshiva Katana in first grade, I was taught to stand, Baruch Hashem Li'olam, Amen Li'amen. Because that's like the bracha at the end, the bracha that concludes the Iker part of Psukkah the Zimmer is Ashrei and the Hallelujahs. That's the Iker. Now, Vayivarech Tov, which we'll explain in a moment, really is part of preparing for Yishtabach. Vayivarech Tov gets us into the theme of Yishtabach. We'll have also Oz Yoshe was added, but the end of Psukah de Zimra, the bulk, the lifeblood of Psukah de Zimra ends with Ashrei and the Hallelujahs, and then you recite Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. Those are psukim which conclude each of the five chapters of Tehillim. Tehillim is divided. There are many ways to divide Tehillim, but one way to divide Tehillim is to take Tehillim divided into five parts. And these psukim, they're not in order, but they are the psukim which conclude three of the five sections. So when we finish saying Psukim de Zimra, which is the Mizmarim of David, we have like a pre-bracha. The ultimate concluding bracha is Yishtabach, but we have also a minor bracha of Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. So Psukah de Zimra is pretty much over. It's like just like you stand for Yishtabach, you stand for the bracha, so you stand for Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. However, not everyone has that custom. Some have the custom that you sit for Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. That's also part of Psukah de Zimra, which you're supposed to sit, and you first get up to stand for Vayivarech Tavit. Why would it be proper to get? Why are you getting a Vayivarech Tavit? What's the purpose? So the common answer is because since the minig is to give tzedakah, this is the main reason why you stand. Since the minig is that you should give tzedakah when you say these psukim. You stand in front of those who do a mitzvah. So when you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to stand, or you stand to give honor to people who do a mitzvah. Since everyone in shul is doing a mitzvah, or there are collectors in shul, the collectors are doing a mitzvah. They're collecting money for important organizations or for poor people. They're doing a very great mitzvah. It's not fun to be a collector. They're doing a mitzvah. You're standing in their honor. Isn't that an amazing thing? The last person you think you would stand for and give covet for would give covet for all the collectors. You want to kill them. Right?
You want to stand for Chasen Kala.
Chasen Kala. Oh, so you just mentioned Chasen Kala. This is all the parashas. Parashah Hayisara. Chasen, why do you stand? So you stand for the Kala. Let's just go off track. What do you stand for the Kala? Chasen, you stand for.
Because
the Rav and the Rav, you Talmud Chacham, and someone over 60, Talmud Chacham, right? But why do you stand? Why do you stand for the Chassan? So the Chassan, because two reasons. There are two reasons. Number one is Isaac b'mitzvah; he's getting married. So I'm the people who do a mitzvah. Other reason, Chassan daima lemelach lemay nafgemina. Do you stand for the Kala? If you learn, I want to say a very big Talmud Chacham. If the Isaac mitzvah, she's also doing the same mitzvah. So you stand for the Kala as well. You have to get up for the Kala walks in. But if the reason why you're standing is because Chasen Doimel HaMelech, now this is a shocking thing to say, no one's going to want to hear this, but nowhere does it say that a Kala is Doimel HaMalka. That it doesn't say. You want to extrapolate, okay, maybe. But Ad Kedei Kach, that you should have to stand because the Kala is Doimel HaMalka, that far you don't have to go. So you would not have to stand.
The Kala becomes when she gets married, like a melech.
No, she becomes a king.
That's consort. After. That's
the king's
after.
She becomes the melech.
It all depends
even
who puts
Haman
the
woman didn't get up first on Malka.
It all depends who puts the foot out first. Yeah.
What stage do you stand up for the I've seen people of college.
Whatever, different, whatever you want to do, you'll find them a car for everything. Whatever you want to do. I haven't been to a wedding in a while, but I don't know, so, years ago, It depends on. It all depends. These chasnim they always to stand for. I think it's a new thing today. My impression is it's a new thing today. They stand for the kal. But one thing I want to tell you: standing for the chasan. All right, I'm them if they do a mitzvah. That's not a real. It's not a real halacha. That's a minog. And standing for a melech. That's certainly a chasan of a melech. That's a doim. That's not. But if someone, if one of the parents is over 60 years old, or if grandparents march down, that is a mitzvah de'oraisa to stand. V'hadarta p'nei zaken. Zaken doesn't just mean 90 years old. Talmud Chacham means anyone over 60 years old is the mitzvah de'oraisa to stand. So v'chasan and kala, that's minor. That's minor. You can find a lot of heterim not to get up for the chasan and kala. But grandparents, mitzvah deraisa. Deraisa. And parents, if they're over 60, sometimes you have that also. There also is a mitzvah deraisa to stand for the parents. Yeah, going off track, yeah.
If the collectors are coming in, not by Gagarov,
okay, listen, you can't collect this. The whole thing is at hand today, and every shul has their own set of rules.
Yeah.
But the truth is, people, yes, the average person, why are you getting up for Vayvayi Baruch David? So I don't know. I don't know. They'll tell, well, maybe because it's the end of Sukkot. The Zimra, come along the Shachidish, the end of Sukkot. The Zimra, we finish now the Halukas. And we finish the end of Tehillim, Baruch Hashem, Le'ilam, Amin, Yamin. That's also part of Tehillim. We finish Tehillim. So now, we're now going into Yishtabach, so we have to get up. No! You're not getting up. You're getting up in honor of the mitzvah that's taking place. What mitzvah? There are people here who are the representatives of the aniyim and the institutions, and there are people here in the shul, maybe not me, but other people who are now going to give tzedakah to them. I'm standing up in their honor.
For why is it put there?
What?
Why is Baruch David put between the end of the Halukos and Yishtabach?
Okay, now you're asking another question. Why is it there? I just explained why you stand up. So the answer, the most popular answer, there are going to be many beautiful expressions of praise we're coming to in these words. Let me jump ahead. The words are L'cha Hashem HaGedula V'HaGivura V'HaTeferes V'HaNetzach V'HaHod. Okay, those are five words. Then we go further. The words Kichol V'HaShemayim Boros L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha V'HaMisnasi L'chol Rosh. There are 5-6 words. I didn't work it out. Then when you go into Oz Yashir, you go into the Shiva, there are more words of praise to Hashem. I don't make the calculation, but if you go look at Vayivarech David together with Oz Yashir, you'll come away with 15 words of Shavach. Those 15 words of Shavach appear in Yishtabach. When Chazal were Mesakin, the Brach of Yishtabach, they drew the 15 Shavachim of Yishtabach from Oz Yashir and from the words of Vayivarech David. So that's why it's a Hakdama to Yishtabach.
So what do you think they go Shama?
I guess it's a bracha.
Also,
it's a bracha and honor. What? Yeah.
The Torah brings by
okay.
Allah
yeah.
that if you don't have something, you don't know what bracha to make.
Yeah.
So if you say what David said, which we'll say soon,
right.
You said baruch
atah. Right. It's like a lamdeni chukecha type of thing.
That's a bracha.
Right. You can make a bracha if you don't know. If you don't have if he's saying that if you need to make a bracha, it's a suffix. You can substitute this as the introduction to the chasima of what you need to say, because these are psukim. You have to stand up. You make a bracha. When you make brachas, depends on the bracha. Not every bracha do you stand, but some brachas you stand.
Why does, let's say, Chaim Berlin doctor not
they said, so I once asked one of the poskim, and he told me it's not true. He told me, even though there's one person who sits, he says, he sits for whatever reason he sits, but he told me there's no such thing. I once asked one of the big people there, how come you sit? The whole Pesuk of the Zimra, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to stand for this and this. He says, it's not true. Whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to do. And people do it. There are many people there do it. He says, the person that you're referring to, for whatever reason, he has his own reasons. He's not the rule. He's the exception. So that's not... Someone else also wants this to Rosh Yeshiva. How come we don't say Bruch Shmei? When you take on the Sefer, a lot of people don't say, but they have a hakpod on saying Bruch Shmei. They want to say, I don't know. So he says, who says we don't say it? He says, I say it. The Rosh Yeshiva says, I say it. Who says we don't say it? The Shliach Tzibur doesn't finish it off. he doesn't finish off, and it takes a lot of the Chaim Levi, the Chaim Levi, they're a big stage. It takes time to get the Sefer Torah. They have plenty of time until they take the Sefer Torah down from the stage to the Chaz. They have plenty of time to say it. Okay, the Shliach Tzibor doesn't conclude the end of Brich Shmei. Who says, so Gesund, hey, say it. Who's holding you back from saying it? There's no rule.
Written on the door. They
well, that's for the, that's for the person who takes it out. Okay, so not everything there. You know, a lot of shuls they have been hugging, which, where do they come from? Whatever it is, whatever. Okay.
Is there a source for the standing up for a person who's doing the mitzvah?
Yeah, Bikurim. It says in the Gemara, it's a Chazal, they establish this halach, people who bring Bikurim, the workers in the field, as people from all over Eretz Yisrael would arrive with the baskets of Bikurim in Yerushalayim. In the summertime, Shavuos, they were instructed to stop working, it was a Takanas Chazal, and to stand up for the people who are doing the mitzvah to give them honor, in order that they should be encouraged to do the mitzvah. And from there we learn as a binyanah, all mitzvahs, when a person does the mitzvah, you should stop what you're doing, stand up, and give them encouragement, welcome back, Shalom Aleichem, to give them encouragement and to give them chizuk. So that's why we stand for people who do a mitzvah, and that is the primary, so now you know a new secret, the primary reason why you stand by Yevarech David is to give kavod to the tzedakah collectors. Unbelievable. Unfortunately, they're not, many shuls, they're not allowed in at this time. Not many, some shuls, because it's out of hand, so they're not allowed to come in, so they're not there. So what do? So you put money on the table. People have been hugging.
Like becomes the substitute.
Pushka, you put it on the table, they go and they have now these little packets of tzedakah, which, you know, you whatever, people do their own thing. Everyone does their own thing to give tzedakah. It's a very beautiful minhag to give tzedakah at this point in time. Now, there's another interesting little cute little vart. It's a very popular vart. Vayivarech David es Hashem, arosh etevas vav, dalid, aleph, yud, vadai. Here we learn that you're only allowed to make a bracha on a vadai. Vayivarech on a suffix. It's forbidden to make a bracha. If you have a suffix, did I eat? Did I not eat? Did I make an alamichya? Did I make an alamichya? You're not allowed to make a bracha if you have a suffix. You only can make a bracha on a vadai, and the remez for that is vayivarech David es Hashem. You want to be like David, who gave the ultimate bracha to Hashem. It has to be vadai. Okay, let's read at least one pasuk. Birchas Maz, that's different because that's a deraisa. Suffix deraisa l'chomer. That's the only bracha. That and birchas atorah are the only brachos which are deraisa. Let's read the pasuk, at least one or two pasuk. Vayivarech David es Hashem l'nei kol hakol v'yamdel baruch atah Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Here he refers to Yisrael. Why does he give credit when he gives this bracha, the God of Yisrael? What about Avraham? What about Yitzchak? Why are we only giving credit to Yisrael, to Yaakov? Because Yaakov was the first one to give a donation to the Beis Hamikdash. V'ho even hazos asher samti matzeva Yihyeh Beis Elokim. Yaakov Avinu, after he traveled back to Lavan, after learning 14 years in Shem Ve'ever, he slept, there were 12 stones, the 12 became one stone, he woke up, Beis Elokim. So he's the first one that made a neder to give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. When David is responding to Klal Yisrael's donation, it comes with a bracha Elokei Yisrael. He goes back to the source. Yeah.
In Pasuk Tes, it refers to David HaMelech.
Yes.
Yud explained David.
Very good. Very good point. So it could be that since David is giving a ain, when you're giving a bracha to Hashem, you have to humble yourself.
It says David HaMelech, he's basically referring to the general populace. Let the people know I'm the king.
Okay.
While in Yod, he's talking to Hashem.
To Hashem, you humble yourself.
No one.
You know, the joke with the person on the Rosh Yom Kippur, Chotosi Avisi, and he says, I'm summoning nothing. And then this guy, and then he starts, how dare I? He doesn't give me, he has no respect for me. And the Rav says, what's going on? To Hashem, I'm a nothing. But to him, to him, I'm a something. So, you know, yeah, everything is relative to who you're looking at. Okay, that's a very good point. You see that? I never thought it was a joke. I thought it's very true. I don't know why people always make take this as a mussar. You have to be humble to everyone. It's true. You have to be humble to everyone, but there are different levels when it comes to people that owe you respect, a rebbe and talmidim and so on and so forth. Parents and children, things like that. So in the chanami, they have to demand what they're entitled to. Okay, let's read one more passage. Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, the God of Yaakov, the first one to make a neder to Hashem for the Beis Hamikdash. Avinu, our Father, may Olam be at Olam forever and ever. A very interesting expression. Let's read one of the pasuk. L'chot you Hashem haGedula. All of these beautiful expressions of praise. Gedula's greatness, haGevura, might, vaTeferes, splendor, vaHaNetzach. Netzach is another expression that is. How do you translate Netzach? Nitzachon, victory. Success. The hahod is another, like beauty. Hod is a word, grandeur, a word that relates to beauty. Hod vehahodar. Kichol ba shemayim uvaretz. To you, Hashem, ki, you have to get a really word into the pasuk. To you, Hashem, is the entire heaven and earth. L'cho Hashem hamamlocha. Now, here a very interesting pasuk, very conclusion pasuk. L'cho Hashem hamamlocha. To you, Hashem, is kingship, is malchus, is authority, v'hamisnasei, and you are elevated, l'chol l'rosh, above and beyond, above and beyond everything. Now, I'm not really translating those words. We're going to read the Rashi in a moment. It's a very hard, these last few words, l'chol Hashem hamamlocha v'hamisnasei l'chol l'rosh, are very hard to really put your finger on. Let me translate it from you the way it translates it here in the art scroll. Okay? And you are the one who is exalted over every leader. Okay, so Rashi, over here in the art scroll, they're selecting one of the many interpretations. To you, Hashem, is the mamlocha. Okay, to you, Hashem, is the kingship.
You are above.
The hamisnasei. And your authority is l'chol, is above. You have to add that word in, is above. L'chol l'rosh, over any other leader in this world. Okay, let's see the mitzudos for these two sukkim and then Rashi. It's a long Rashi. Rashi gives a very nice...
Very detailed.
Oh, I didn't see the targum. I didn't even know. Okay.
In other words, he mentions each word has to do with a different miracle.
Okay, right. Yeah, So we had... I'll go through some of that. I do have some of those, but let's just see the mitzudos first and the Rashi, and then we'll do some other midrash. There are a lot of midrashim on this case. Let's see first the mitzudos pasuk yud. So pasuk yud, it says, "Elokei Yisrael avinu, milas avinu chayzer al Yisrael." So he says the word avinu. I made a mistake. I told you one another interpretation. According to the mitzudos, avinu goes back on Yaakov. David is calling Yaakov avinu, but he's calling him Yisrael avinu. This is a very unique pasuk. We all know that we have Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu. You don't have anywhere Yisroel Avinu. Do you ever hear that expression, Chazal? You don't have that in Chazal. Yisroel Avinu. You have Yisroel Saba. Right? Yisroel Saba. But you don't have Yisroel Avinu. You have Yaakov Avinu. Here it's a Peferish Pasuk, according to the Mitzudos, his understanding. He learns Avinu is not going on Hashem, Avinu is going on Yaakov, and it's not Yaakov in this Pasuk, it's Yisrael. Yisrael represents the shlemest of Klal Yisrael, Yisrael Avinu. Milas Avinu Chayzer al Yisrael, Lufisha Yaakov Hoyatchil Lenoidim. Now he explains what I told you before, why are we giving credit to Yisrael Avinu? Because he was the first one to give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, Shubola Dabar Devar Ba'avur HaNadava. Since now David is talking about donations to the Beis HaMikdash, Lezehizker Shem Hashem Al Yisrael. Then he says, you are Me'olam V'yad Olam. That means Me'olam Hazet, Olam Haba, the entire dimension of time. Me'olam Hazet, Olam Haba. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Hoya Hoyve V'yad, the most gashmiest sticking thing in this world. The greatest difference between this world and Olam Haba is time. String theory. This is the defining difference of this world and, okay, this world is physical. So, we find many Mekoros in Chazal that living people went to Shemayim. Mr. Shelach. We find people who died, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he died, but he came back. He came back, right? He came back to make Kiddush every Friday night. And even though chavshim and amitzvahs, no, you can come back. So we find many places in Chazal, there's no physical difference between this world and the next world. People, living people, they go to Shemayim in their guf. That's what it says. And people who die, they come back in the guf.
But you can't, I thought the Gemara and Shabbos, I remember I was reading this morning, once you die, you can't learn Torah. You can't do it.
Chav Shemin HaMitzvahs.
So there is a difference.
That's right. You're part of a mitzvah, but yet there's a contradiction. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, this is the famous Chazal, he came back every Friday night and he made kiddush for his family. And only stopped when the maid said, quiet out there, the Rebbe is making kiddush. What? He's making kiddush. He died 10 years ago. What are you talking about? So they say, no, he comes back every Friday night.
But Rebbe didn't give shir. I mean, he didn't write
the book. We don't know. So then Rebbe stopped because the other widows in the community were insulted. Why does your wife come back and not our husband? Why does your husband come back and not ours? So therefore, not to make him feel bad, so he stopped coming. But how could Rebbe be moitzi the family kiddush? He's part of minha mitzvahs. So what do you see? Not necessarily true. Yeah, they are different. That's what it says. That's what Farshah says. Yeah, we don't know how these things work.
Did he come back in a physical being? Did they actually?
It seems so. Yeah. What does this mean? This is very challenging to the mind. What does this mean? I don't know. We don't like to go these. These are kinyas. It's cautious. Look, and I was reading about the Tanoim. You know, I was reading. I don't tell you this stuff because he wouldn't come back if I would tell you some of these chassidish and maislach. But when I was preparing yesterday for the shir for the Tanoim. So there's a whole section there, you know, he has a lot of Hasidic stuff, Rabbi Zinner. So there's a whole section there, he talks that at the Tanoim, the parents and the grandparents, the great-grandparents from the other world, they come. They come to participate in your simcha. I've heard this many times. What does this mean? You know, this for us doesn't have
a... Invite them to a Hasidic.
Right. What does this mean, Hasidic?
Right.
So he says, so just one mice, they caught my attention. He has all the names. I don't know these names. I can't pronounce these names. He has one mice there. We're they go by a Tanoim with these two very great people. They're marrying off their children. And this person, he was by the Tanoim, and he saw this, the neshama, whatever this means, this is again mystical, Hasidus Shemaiselach, he saw the neshama of one of his great-grandparents, and he fainted. Okay, so well, they woke him up, they revived him, and he said, why did you faint? He says, I had a vision. I had this vision of this neshama. What? Yes, then the other person said to him, does that mean you never saw this neshama until now? I see the neshamas of my great-grandparents all the time. They come every Friday night, like Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So he said, of course, I've seen him many times. I've seen him many times. But like this, I never saw him. He looked different. The simcha of the family was so great. He shined. So I mean, it was a chassidus shemaislach. But how do we get into this? How do we get into this? I don't even remember. Okay, let's read.
You missed the turn off.
Okay, let's get back to this. Luch Hashem, let's finish the mitzudos. Luch Hashem, Ratzolayma Hashem, Gedula Shani Bo. Okay. Me'olam Hazelam Abo, Luch Hashem, Ratzolayma Hashem, Gedula Shani Bo, Ve'agvur Ve'ateferes Asher Bi, Ve'anitzochon Shasisi Ve'ahoyt Shabi, Ha'kol Heima Miyotch. According to the mitzudos, this is how we learn Shan the Pasek. All David, what David is doing, he's saying all of he's relating to Hashem through himself. It's an incredible interpretation of the pasuk. David, look at, how do you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by looking at successful people in this world, and you just magnify it, and you recognize that this midah really comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David was very successful. David had gedula, greatness. He was the king. David was the gibor. David had gibarim, all these people that served under him. He was the ultimate gibar. David was a man of tiferes. He was a beautiful person. David was a successful person, a victorious person, the hanetzach. David had hod. David says, all of the successes in my life I recognize come from you. That is the way a person can continuously relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. It's truly impossible to really come and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You only get HaKadosh Baruch Hu by looking at successful people and trying to understand that they're just a marshal for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. There's a chazal, Malchusa da'ara, ke'ein Malchusa da'rakiya. the Malchus in this world is parallels the reason why Hashem created Malchus in this world, that we should have some type of sense of what the Malchus is in the next world. So one more time, those words, let me see this. The Gedula that is found in me, David says, the Hagavur of Yatiferes Asher B, the Hanitzachon and the success, the victory, She'osisi, the Hahoid Shebi, Hakol Heima B'yotcha, they all come from you. Kichol Musav Al Lucha. Then when the pasuk concludes, ki chol ba'shamayim uvaretz, it goes back on l'chol loymar, ki kol l'chol asher ba'shamayim uvaretz. The pasuk does not read easily, like all the pasukim in Nevi'im. Nevi'im, especially Nevi'im achreinim, you have to eat another word into the pasuk. Ki l'chol kol shamayim uvaretz. The word l'chol is being doubled. It's a very complex pasuk. The pasuk begins l'chol Hashem hagedula. You have to take that word l'chol that is the beginning of the pasuk Yud Aleph, and repeat it before you come to the word ki chol ba shamayim uvaretz. What? Okay, but I don't think he does not doing that. He's just saying the word repeats. This is very common. This, you have this type of technique in Yeshaya, in Yecheskel. It's a complex form of Hebrew where the word is meant to be repeated twice. Ki l'cha kol b'shamayim. To you is everything in the heavens and the earth. Okay, next words of the Mitzudos. L'cha v'chulu atohu hamamlech melachim. You are the one who decides who is the king. V'atohu hamisnas sei es kol asher hu umar lios l'rosh. And it is you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who puts into power. So according to the Mitzudos HaMisnasei, not like the art scroll translation, that your power is above every leader in this world. The way the Mitzudos learns is you, the one who puts into power every leader in the world. Just like we have this concept, Leiv Melachim Biyad Hashem, before they become the Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's to an incredible Hashkacha to whom is appointed to become a leader.
Hashem is delegating His authority to
become appointed to him? Yes. To you is Malchus, V'hamisnasi, you put into position L'chol L'rosh, every leader in the world, it is through the power of Hashem, the decision of Hashem, who should serve in positions of leadership.
Well, you could say, you made me the Melech, and you made me Manasseh al-Rosh. I was the Melech of the other Melech.
It doesn't say that, not in the Mitzudas. He's saying another interpretation.
In the Mitzudas, I'm saying.
No, but he doesn't say that.
You made me
L'Rosh. Atu Melachim in general, over the world.
And you made me L'Rosh on the Melachim.
V'yatu hamisnase is no, and that's not what it's saying in the Mitzvah. He's saying another interpretation. V'yatu hamisnase es kol asher humad lios lirosh. You are the one who appoints kings, and you are the one who appoints people to positions of authority. Lirosh does not mean a king; means a position of authority. Let's see the Rashi. Let's just do part of the Rashi.
Let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
And as we're saying, what we say by God, we should say, "Emesato rishon v'yatu rachon v'adecho."
Besides you, for us, Klal Yisrael. We have no other God but HaKadosh. We sing this David HaMelech. We mean a spiritual Melech. There's only one God. Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's only one God. So let's see the Rashi quickly. Vayivarech David esed as Hashem l'nikol akol shehikil k'da'am al-el vayakel David vayivarechim al hamitznadvam, referring to the assembly that was in front of him, the people who gave the donations. Vayivarech ato Hashem l'kei Yisrael avinu l'fi chizka Yisrael v'yosem y'avram v'yitzchak. Same thing as this. Why does he mention Yaakov more than he mentions Ya'avram and Yitzchak? L'fi ki Yaakov gamku nodar. Yaakov was the first one to give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, and that is what's taking place over here. The Siva Yido Yaakov Neder Yisshol Avinu Yisshol Saba. According to Rashi, Rashi as well says Yisshol Avinu refers to Avinu, not Hashem, but Avinu is Yaakov. Yisrael Sab. This maybe where it comes from, the famous expression of Yisrael Sab. You wonder if they should go in the ways of Yisrael Saba. They're different. It refers to Yaakov Avinu. The Gam Bebreishis Rabba Mufurish Cain, Nadartiani, David, the Ami, Kamo Yisrael Saba. So there, V'chol Hanoyde Tzorch Lahaske. There's another pasuk. I'm not familiar with this pasuk, but there he says that V'chol Hanoyde Tzorch Lahaske Benido Yisrael. It says there, I made a vow, and my nation. My nation refers to who? It refers to Yisrael. When you give a vow, you have to mention the first one who gave the vow. Lahaske benidro Yisrael v'chein ato noda v'chein asher noda la'avir Yaakov. Another pasuk. who gave a donation, Lavir, the mighty one of Yaakov. Why in that? That's a famous pasuk. Why in that pasuk until Lama Beis we mention Nodar Lavir Yaakov to Hashem? Why is Hashem called the mighty of Yaakov? Because Yaakov was the first one who gave a donation. So anytime you mention giving of a donation, you always give credit to the very first. Pasuk next, Melchat Olam, Omar David. Now here is another medrash. This nusach, Vayivarech David es Hashem, Lenik Al Gol, Vayomdev. Why did David choose the words Baruch Ato Hashem? Who was the first one to say Baruch Ato Hashem? Yisrael. Yisrael was the first one to say Baruch Hashem. So David was very disturbed. How could it be the first one to say Baruch Ato Hashem was a ger, and not someone from Klal Yisrael? Baruch Elokei Adonai Avraham. But he did not say the words Ato.
Right.
Atah is a more powerful expression. The first one to say Baruch Atah was Yisrael. Let's see the Rashi. Omar David Ger Echon Choyo Yisrael. Yisrael was one ger. He was the only ger among Bein Sheish Meos Elif, among 600,000 Jews. The Omar, and what did he say? Baruch Hashem Asher. You know, he didn't say Baruch Atah. Baruch Hashem Asher Yitzil Eschem. What did Eliezer say? Baruch
Hashem. You know,
same thing. Baruch Hashem Elokei Adonai Avraham. So why doesn't he quote from Eliezer? Maybe he's referring to after Matan Torah. I don't know the answer. It's a very good point. V'yama Baruch Hashem.
Yisrael said it was before or after.
When did Yisrael come? Before or after? A very good point. V'yama Baruch Hashem Asher Yitzil Eschem. Okay, I don't know. He's asking a very good question that we have in this week's parasha. Eliezer also said Baruch Hashem Elokei Adonai Avraham. So why are we referring over here to, referring specifically to Yisrael? David was disturbed why Yisrael was the first one to use the expression, Baruch Hashem, Asher Etzil Eschem, Ginai Godol Hu Zeh, L'chol Yisrael. It's a Ginai. David felt that it's a terrible defect, embarrassment for Klal Yisrael. The first one to give a bracha to Hashem, I guess after Matan Torah, was a ger, the only ger among 600,000 Jews. Therefore, David is coming to make tikkun. What's the tikkun? He's going to give a greater bracha than the ger, and he's going to say, "May oylam be ad oylam." I'm going to add the bracha from this world to the next world. Va'ani hareini moisif levarich es Hakadosh Baruch Hu yoyser miYisrael. So that is what David's agenda is. Why he said "May oylam be oylam." Now let's read very quickly some of the words of here. Luchashem Agadula, Nasan Shevach, LeHakadosh Baruch Hu Shnasan Loi Kol Kach Likbay Tzmamin Kizel Lebin Beis Hamikdash. He's giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the opportunity to build the Beis Hamikdash, give him all this wealth. V'chsiv El Hu Yivne Bayis, and Hashem said about Shlomo that he will build a bayis. Samach Lei Hashem Bavur Avdecha Asisi Es Kol Agadula. That is for you, Hashem. I have done all of this great thing. V'gam Loshem Gadul Noifal Al Binyan Beis Hamikdash Kizel. Rashi is quoting psukim number one from the context that the word gedul is used in the previous psuk before in reference to the building of the Beis Hamikdash, and it's used in reference later on in reference to the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, when David over here says the word gedula, he's referring specifically giving Hashem praise for giving him the ability to succeed in collecting the money, the funds, the resources that are necessary for the building of the Beis Hamikdash, because the word gedula is a code for the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So we understand what he's giving praise. Luchash Magdula Afal Pisha Kol She Hikbatzdi Kol Amoman Hazel Bein Beis Hamikdash Nikol Gedula Ato Nosan Li Kol Hagedula Hazos VeHagvura. You have given me this Gedula and Gvura Shnasat Li Gvura Li Lochem Im Sene Yisrael VeLavoz Shalom. You've given me the might to conquer nations and to take their property, their spoils. V'Lavoz Shalom LeFonai Livno Sabayis Kedul El Achar Shenilcham Imakol Oivav V'Nitzchum Ksiv Gam Oisam Hikdish Hamelach David Goymer. With the Gevura also refers to the Beis Hamikdash. David needed Gevura to succeed in war. And what did he do when he succeeded? He took the spoils and donated it to the Beis Hamikdash. So that's why the word Gedul, Gevur, also refers to the Beis Hamikdash. V'hatiferes, kol shvachos elu shivchu al shnos nechal shvarchu koyach lekabit zmaman lebinim es Hamikdash nekha pe'er. The Mikdash is also called pe'er. Kedosiv lefa'er makoim, to give glory to makoim mikdashi, to the place of my holy place. V'gam lomalok siv l'shem u'l'seferes, and the Mikdash will be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a name for reputation and for Teferis. A third word referring to the Beis Hamikdash. The Hanetzach, Shenas Nakadosh Baruch Hu Nitzachon Lishlo Shalol, Hadgachav, victory. The word Shalol, Lord Nitzachon, relates to Givura. There's a pattern. There is first a word that refers specifically to the Beis Hamikdash, Gidula and Pe'er, and after each one of those respective words, we have a word of military might, which David needed to succeed, David used in battle to succeed, to conquer and to donate the spoils to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so we've taken these four words and we've discovered a pattern. Gedula is the Beis HaMikdash, Hagavura, war, to succeed and to use the spoils for the Beis HaMikdash. Tiferes, Pe'er, is the Beis HaMikdash. The Hanetzach, victory, is something that I need in war to succeed, to use the money that I plunder for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, however, he does not give us the word Ahod. Okay, Rashi does not explain how the word Ahod over here comes into the word that he leaves out. It's a mystery. If Rashi is going to the great effort of telling us these four words, how they relate to the Beis HaMikdash, why wouldn't Rashi tell us how the word Hod refers? I do not know. That he leaves out. Chanukah is all about Hod. Chanukah coming up soon. When is Shabbos of Aruchim? Is that this week or next week?
Next week.
But Hod is all about, is about the Mishkei. We have our time.
One time about the spheres. I think you mentioned that Hod is an aspect of Din.
Okay, there are many different dimensions in Hod, so I don't know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in control of what goes on all the way in outer space, and all those galaxies and Milky Ways and who knows where. Allah has kan v'kama, you have control of what goes on in this world over here. Esnachta. After the word of Aris, he has an esnachta, which means it's the end of the sentence. Shasham is Saima Pasik, Musav Lamala Himenu Kibirashti. Luchashem Hamam Lachva Misnasi Luchal Rosh. This is a long, long Rashi, and the whole Moshe Rashi gives. And there are many other interpretations, which we'll have to leave for next week.